Are you thankful for the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc.? Please consider making a special Thanksgiving gift. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. With 6 weeks left in 2016, we're approximately $120,000 short of expenses. Thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
During the campaign, you said that you would appoint justices who were against abortion rights. Will you appoint, are you looking to appoint a justice who wants to overturn Roe v. Wade?
So look, here's what's going to happen. I'm pro-life. The judges will be pro-life. They'll be.
But what about overturning?
Well, there are a couple of things. They'll be pro-life, but having to do with abortion, what it, if it ever were overturned, it would go back to the states. So
but
it would go back to the
some
states.
Some women
states.
Won't be able to get an abortion.
No, it'll go back to the states.
By state? No, some.
Yeah. Well, they'll perhaps have to go to they'll have to go to another state.
And that's okay.
Well, we'll see what happens. It's got a long way to go, just so you understand. That has a long, long way to go.
It's President-elect Donald Trump speaking recently with Leslie Stahl of CBS 60 Minutes. Now, there are those who were immediately trembling with the election of Donald Trump who are adamant supporters of abortion. One of them, Kately Hansen Long, the spokesperson for NARAL Pro-Choice America, said this is a dark time for women and families. The vision and policies of Donald Trump has proposed for America are a clear and present danger to women. That's one reaction that is coming from the pro-abortion forces as they think about the expectations of a Trump presidency. Now, pro-lifers have their expectations as well. We think about the attorney general that's been chosen, not confirmed, Jeff Sessions, who was, by the way, the senator that provided Donald Trump during the campaign with that list of potential Supreme Court nominees, might have won him the election. You never know. And he's been named attorney general. How important is attorney general to the pro-life agenda? There is, of course, the Supreme Court, not just one, automatically one, but not just one, but perhaps more Supreme Court nominees for Donald Trump to decide on. And then there is pro-life legislation, including perhaps the defunding of Planned Parenthood that has enjoyed about $500 million from the U.S. government every year and returned a lot of that in terms of support for pro-choice candidates. We're going to be talking about pro-life expectations for a Trump presidency. Carol Tobias of National Right to Life will join us a little bit later. We're going to talk about the religion of secular progressives. They don't think of themselves as religious. They're not portrayed as religious. But if you look at the hallmarks of a religion, it is, in fact, a religion. Pastor Peter Burfeind will join us, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Millennials Are in Election Hell Because Politics Has Become Their God. In the meantime, we're going to talk about pro-life expectations. Carol Tobias joins us, president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. Carol, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
The first action that I wanted you to react to, and that is the choice of Senator Jeff Sessions as the next U.S. Attorney General. First, your thoughts on that choice, given how pivotal he was in the whole issue of Supreme Court nominees and who might be named as Supreme Court nominees, and how important is Attorney General to the pro-life cause?
Jeff Sessions was a wonderful pick for Attorney General. He is strongly pro-life. He is going to be, I think, hardcore on all of our issues, anything that the Justice Department can do. He is going to protect, I believe, our pregnancy resource centers, his voting record in the Senate. I mean, he's just amazing pick. I was very happy to see him get that position.
How important is Attorney General for the next 4 years of the agenda of those who want to protect the unborn?
The Attorney General is critical. The Justice Department is going to be working with the President on nominations, not only to the Supreme Court, but to various levels of the federal bench, you know, the Court of Appeals and the district courts. The Attorney General would have a Solicitor General who is the one that's going to argue cases before the Supreme Court. The Justice Department can decide which laws they would want to defend on behalf of the federal government, you know, before the courts. I had mentioned pregnancy resource centers. We are finding a lot of them around the country being attacked, basically having to tell their clients that, you know, you can't get an abortion here, but we can tell you where to get the abortion. There are just a lot of different aspects of the federal government and what they can push or control or try to prevent that can affect pro-life issues in many different ways. So to have someone like Jeff Sessions, who is just a very strong pro-lifer in that position, bodes very well for unborn babies and for the movement overall.
There's also at least rumor of Georgia Representative Tom Price being one of the finalists for HHS secretary, and that would, I take it, represent a huge change from the current one.
That would be an immense change, a big benefit for us. HHS, of course, is the agency that has told Planned Parenthood that if the state government where your affiliate is located is not willing to reimburse you for services, then you can just apply directly to us, and we will make sure that you are taken care of. HHS has a lot of influence on what happens with, currently Obamacare. We'll see if that gets overturned. That's another very important position, and Tom Price would be great. I mean, I don't know that he's going to get that position, but if he would, we'd be very strongly supportive of him.
Just the big picture here, Carol, how significant is it that Republicans, of course not all pro-life, obviously, but Republicans now hold a majority in both chambers of the Congress, and then in come January 20th, the White House?
The biggest advantage for us having the White House, of course, is who gets appointed to the Supreme Court and to the federal bench, the different judges that have to be nominated. It is going to be tough to get some bills through the Senate. They still have the Senate rule that said you can filibuster a bill, and if you have more than 40 senators agreeing with you, a bill doesn't come to the floor for a vote. So for past many years, we've had enough pro-abortion Democrats in the Senate that have been able to block pro-life bills. Unfortunately, that isn't going to change. Where I think we will see the big difference, though, is that last year we were able to get a bill through the House and the Senate on a budget reconciliation that was able to avoid the filibuster, the 60-vote requirement. So it did actually go to the president's desk. It would have defunded Planned Parenthood. Unfortunately, President Obama vetoed it, and we expect that bill to make its way to the White House again, only this time we certainly expect President Trump to sign the bill.
So if you were to, say, rate your level of confidence that in due course, when that bill is reintroduced, makes its way back through the process and then to a President Trump's desk, that he would actually sign it and defund Planned Parenthood at the federal level, what's your level of confidence on scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, extremely high. I know members of Congress are going to try it again. We were successful. I see no reason why it wouldn't happen again this year. President-elect Trump, during the campaign, stated several times that as long as Planned Parenthood is doing abortions, they should not be getting federal tax dollars. So I don't know that I want to put a number on it, but I am very, very, very optimistic that we could actually make it happen.
Is the Hyde Amendment safe for another 4 years?
Yes, it is. The Hyde Amendment is the federal law that prevents the funding of abortion with federal tax dollars. Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party platform wanted to overturn or repeal that amendment, but now with the House, Senate, and the White House, there is no way that's going to change. And we are going to try to make it a permanent ban that would affect every single agency that is operated with federal tax dollars. Again, a high hurdle because of the votes needed in the Senate, but we're certainly going to try.
Let's talk about Supreme Court nominees. There was that list that we've mentioned here before floating around. Donald Trump used it to great aplomb in terms of the election, probably swaying people who would have otherwise either just stayed home or not voted for him at all. So he has one to be made. Do you expect that to be a higher priority for him, filling out that
yes.
empty seat?
Yes. Yes, President-elect Trump has said often that he would appoint more justices like Antonin Scalia, and I think he will do that as soon as he is able to take office, that we will get a very good nominee. Now, unfortunately, that doesn't change the balance on the court. It is just basically preserving a vote that we have had to return abortion to the states. But, you know, President-elect Trump or a President Trump may get an opportunity to appoint more judges. But I'm very confident that he will look at this list of and say, you know, these have been approved. They're conservative. They're pro-life. And I think we're going to, well, I think we're going to see a change on the court. But, of course, that means the current members would have to step down or be removed. So we'll see what happens in the next couple of years.
Do you expect any significant opposition from the Senate that would need to approve, advise and consent is the constitutional language, but would in essence need to approve any Supreme Court nominee from a President
yes.
Trump?
Yes. Senator Charles Schumer is going to be taking over leadership for the Democrats in the Senate. He is strongly pro-abortion, and he will be able to rally his troops to try to stop any judicial nominee to the Supreme Court that they do not approve of, and a pro-lifer they will not approve of. What I think we will probably see happening then is the Senate debating whether or not it takes just a majority to confirm appointments. That's I think, going to be one of the biggest debates that we see in the coming few months.
And a lot of that is going to be, I'm no expert in kind of the legislative process, especially with regard to the Senate, but the Senate does set its own rules, and the majority of the Senate does set its own rules, don't they?
Yes, they can. What is often called the nuclear option, which means they would get rid of the filibuster rule so that a majority is all that is required. Now, that's good and bad. You know, now that we have more than 50 pro-life votes, you know, we are going to want to be able to pass bills. But if in a future election, it gets flipped around, you know, we've been able to stop bad legislation because we got more than 40 votes who were willing to filibuster, you know, bad legislation or bad nominees. So on the one hand, I want to see it happen because that's how we're going to get things through the House and the Senate and to President Trump's desk for signatures or appointing, you know, approving judges. But if the elections flip sometime and we're on the other end, then we're going to wish we had that back. So that's going to be the big debate, I believe, coming up here soon.
I'd like your reaction, Carol, to something that Kaylee Hansen, long a spokesperson for NARAL, Pro-Choice America, said in a recent article in the Wall Street Journal, Donald Trump's victory looks set to renew battle over abortion rights. Ms. Long said, "This is a dark time for women and families. The vision and policies Donald Trump has proposed for America are a clear and present danger to women." How would you respond to that?
I think the policies that he is advocating is a clear and present danger to the abortion industry, but certainly not to women and children. I think we will see several things happening in the coming years that are going to be good for children, good for women. Certainly, killing unborn babies is not good for the babies, but it harms women. So I'm fine if the abortion industry is worried about a clear and present danger. But that's certainly not for women and children. It's going to be more for their industry and their money-making ability.
What would your top three legislative priorities be for the next 4 years?
I think if we do something like either the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act or a ban on dismemberment abortions, it's going to be a little bit of a shocker to the American public because, unfortunately, a lot of them still don't know what's happening. If you're talking about a dismemberment ban, they don't know that babies bleed to death because their arms and legs are torn off, you know, the body in the abortion procedure. So I would certainly push that even, you know, as an educational effort. We maybe have 18,000, 20,000 babies a year that would probably die by that procedure. I think we have enough support in the public, even among abortion supporters who do not want their tax dollars used to pay for abortion. So I would see a permanent Hyde Amendment. And then I think defunding Planned Parenthood would send a strong signal that our federal government is not going to support or prop up the largest abortion provider in the country.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life based in Washington, D.C. We will post a link to National Right to Life under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. org. Carol, thank you very much and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. And have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too. On the other side of the break, Pastor Peter Burfein joins us. We're going to talk about the religion of secular progressivism. It does not think of itself as particularly religious, maybe spiritual, but not religious. And by the very term secular, it generally puts itself forward and is perceived by many as being a-religious or anti-religious. But is secular progressivism, in fact, at least by some measures, a religion? We'll answer that question with Pastor Peter Burfein right after this.
You can call it what you like. I call it life. I call it life. I pray for things nobody.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Christmas is a holy day, not just an ordinary holiday. It's when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's why Emmanuel Press keeps Jesus as the focus of all their Christmas cards. And that's why they use the words of Scripture and the poetry of hymns inside the cards to confess our hope in Christ. Visit their website at emmanuelpress.us to see a variety of cards, including a brand new card for 2016. EmmanuelPress.us.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Tired of hearing about what you have to do for God? Then come hear what He has done for you. Receive His gifts of life and salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ. If you think big screens belong in movie theaters, then you'll be right at home at Faith Lutheran Church in Beaufort, South Carolina. God's powerful, saving word needs no gimmicks, so we simply teach the word of God and administer His sacraments. We plant and water while God gives the growth. Faith Lutheran Church of Beaufort, South Carolina, where the Bible is still the Word of God and where we still speak the historic Christian liturgy. This is your grandfather's church. Come home.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.